go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the front edition of Before You Bet right here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. So coming off of a stinker of a game there on Thursday Night Football, myself and the boys, we gave out some winners, though, and we're going to try to keep that momentum going into Sunday. We have 9 total bets for Sunday's NFL action. Brad Powers will also be by in the second half of the show to discuss some of the bigger games of the weekend here in college football. Okay, let's start to get into it here. My first guest in his traditional Friday spot, my guy, the pride of Halifax, Nova Scotia, Ro, our resident Detroit Lions fan. So, Ro, let's start with this. We're coming off of a stinker of a game there on Thursday night. This is why we bet, though. We watch right to the final whistle. We needed to go down to the final whistle to see if the Chiefs were going to cover for the most part. But maybe a hot take. The Kansas City Chiefs, the 2023 Kansas City Chiefs, are not a great team. They are a good team. They might be a great team by the time we get to the end of the season. But if you look at what they've done this season, you give them a bit of a break for losing to the Lions in week 1. No shame in that. They barely get by the Jaguars. They beat up the Bears. No big deal. They let the Jets hang around. They beat the Vikings by 7. And then last night, they let the Broncos hang around. So I'm seeing some red flags here. Not a whole lot of chemistry with Patrick Mahomes and these receivers. Travis Kelce getting beat up quite a bit this season. He is getting a little bit older. So what do you think of that take, that the Kansas City Chiefs are not a great team right now?
No, I mean, I completely agree with it. Their record's pretty good right now. Obviously still a very dangerous team. I would never want to face them in the playoffs, considering what they've done in the past. But I mean, that receiver core needs some serious help. Like you said, I mean, there's just no chemistry right there. He's pretty much just looking Kelce's way every time. That offense isn't as explosive as it used to be. That used to be the big thing. You could never count out the Chiefs. So many games, you'd see them kind of have these, trailing at half, and then you'd bet on them alive because you know they just come back, and then they just like drop, 20 points in the third quarter and like storm out and win. And I don't know if this Chiefs can do that anymore. So if they fall behind against a team like, say, the Dolphins or the Bills, do they have that firepower to come back? And right now, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, there's been some sloppiness. He threw some really bad interceptions in that game against the Jets. And also, we saw one really bad one he threw into the end zone there against the Broncos last night. The Broncos, the worst defense in the NFL, probably, by the way. And the Chiefs couldn't really get it going. I think 1 for 5 in the red zone. Okay, that is in the past. We look into the future here. 9 total bets through for Sunday's NFL action, row. So let's start rolling here. I'm going to get us started like I usually do. My 6-point teaser for the weekend. We have a beautiful pairing here where we will take the Philadelphia Eagles down to a single point and pair them with the Los Angeles Rams down to a single point. So major mismatch between the Eagles defensive line and the Jets offensive line. Zach Wilson is going to be in trouble in this one. He could revert back to the Zach Wilson we know and love. The Jets O-line is allowing the most pressure in the NFL. The offensive line is in shambles right now. Philadelphia's defense is generating the 4th most pressure while also being great against the run, which is the Jets. Their offense really depends on the run. So expect a lot of empty drives for the Jets in this one. Eagles, they'll try to play keep away and control that clock. Jets defense, surprisingly, not very good against the run. 25th in yards allowed per rush attempt. Then we look at the second leg of this teaser. We have the Cards and the Rams. And Sean McVay absolutely owns the Cardinals. The Cards starting to look a lot like that team who we thought they were going to be entering the season. They've lost their last 2 games by a combined 35 points. So the Rams are 10-2-1 ATS in their 13 games against Arizona under McVay. LA, they love to pass the ball. They're passing it at the 5th highest percentage. I think they're going to find a lot of success versus a Cardinals defense that ranks 25th in yards allowed per pass attempt. So my 6-point teaser of the weekend, Eagles, Rams. Okay, Ro, next up, an interesting game. Your Lions taking on the Bucs down in Tampa Bay. What do you like for this one?
You know, I'm actually leaning towards the Bucs right now, getting it at +3 right now. Like you said, I mean, I'm a Lions fan, but I think this defense might be a little bit inflated at the moment. You look at the last 3 opponents they faced and the quarterbacks they went up against. We're talking about Desmond Ridder, Jordan Love, and Bryce Young at quarterback. Desmond Ridder is 23rd in the league in pass efficiency rating. Love is 28th. Young is 29th. So, I mean, they're playing against some pretty weak competition. And yes, they're putting up good numbers, but this is a secondary that I've seen get torched way too much. And they're really banged up at the moment as well. Going up against Baker Mayfield this week, obviously Mayfield is no Tom Brady, but he is 7th in the league in pass efficiency rating. So he's a hell of a lot better than the guys I just named there. The other thing is that, yeah, the Lions are 4-1 straight up, look really, really strong this year. But at the same time, the Bucs are also 3-1. Their only loss came against the unbeaten Eagles. So not a bad loss to have on your resume. Bucs are also fresh off a bye week and playing at home in this one. So a lot of reasons to like the Buccaneers there. This is also a team that's, you know, top 10 in the league in both offensive and defensive EPA. One of just a handful of teams in the league that can say that. Of course, the Lions are one of those teams as well. But like I said, you know, this is a Bucs team that, you know, can play, they can defend, they can score on offense. Obviously, their running game needs to get going at some point in the year, but I don't think it necessarily needs to in this one because that Lions secondary is so weak. Now, of course, one thing I am keeping an eye on is the health of Mike Evans. His status is still up in the air, and he's definitely an important weapon to take advantage of that weak Lions secondary. You know, I still do like the Bucs in this spot. I was kind of waiting for the shoe to drop. I mean, this line has been at Lions at -3 at -120 for pretty much, you know, the last 2 days or so. And I keep waiting for that line to move to -3.5 so I can grab the Bucs at that key number over 3. But it hasn't happened yet. Still keeping an eye on that. And like I said, the health of Mike Evans. So I might wait until a little bit later to bet that right before kickoff. But I do like the Bucs here.
Okay, Roe going against his Lions there. Okay, next up, we're off to jolly old England. The Ravens and Titans getting after it. A total of 42 for this one. I absolutely love the under. I have a lot of under bets on today's show. So these teams have failed to cross the 40-point mark in 7 of their combined 10 games this season. Both are red-hot under bets. The Ravens have gone under in 15 of their last 19 games, and the Titans have gone under in 8 of their last 9 games. The Titans' offense is not traveling well. Just 11.3 points per game in 3 road games this season. Now you really take them out of their element. You throw them in London in an early time slot against a Ravens defense that ranks 2nd in yards allowed per play. And if these offenses can get in close, expect more field goal attempts than touchdowns because both are elite red zone defenses. They rank 1st and 4th in the NFL in red zone defense. So I think we're going to have a low scoring affair over in a jolly old England. Okay, Ro, next up, we are off to Prop City. You have a prop that you like for Kirk Cousins. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you set it up with that under in your last play. You mentioned, you know, that we're thinking about a lot of unders this week. A lot of messy weather expected kind of across the board. We saw a low scoring game last night, and there's expected to be a few of them. So looking at the Vikings Bears, total opened at 48.5. We found out that Justin Jefferson is going to be sidelined for at least 4 games. That number went down to about 46 or so. But then, you know, weather news came out. Chance of rain in the game, obviously, but the wind is the big thing for me. Expected to be 20 miles per hour right now, gusting up to 30 miles per hour. Then we saw that total plummet. The total went all the way down to 43.5, bounced back a little to 44. But I'm specifically targeting Kirk Cousins and taking the under on his passing yards, getting that right now at about 248.5. You know, this is a guy that's really going to miss Jefferson. Jefferson isn't just one of the best receivers in the league, arguably the best. He's, you know, the massive part of this offense, 27.2% target share. He had about 450 receiving yards through just the first 3 weeks of the year. And so Cousins often looks his way, and there's going to be a big drop off without Jefferson there. I already mentioned the weather that's going to play a factor as well. And the other thing is that this Bears team could be returning 3 starters to their secondary. Jalen Johnson, probably their best cornerback, was a full participant in practice this week after missing the last few weeks. Kyler Gordon and safety Eddie Jackson were limited in practice this week, but could make their return to the lineups as well. So, you know, this is a Bears defense that, yes, they're bad, but they could be a little bit better than they've been in the past, especially when that weather's factored in. And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is that the Bears love to pound the ball and they play at a slower tempo, which is also going to reduce possessions and keep the Minnesota offense off the field. So lots of reasons to fade Cousins on his passing yards prop.
Yeah, I had the over in that game circled for most of the week to do on today's show, but you keep on seeing the total dropping and you look at the weather report. The wind is supposed to be quite strong, so I will revisit that one before the game to see the updated weather. But yeah, no over on that one for me with how crazy the wind is supposed to be in that matchup. Around 50 people watching live right now. Guys, if you are watching live, do me a favor. Hit the like button if you like the show. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel and hit up that live chat. Let us know what your best bets are for the weekend. Jim 800 chiming in. He says Casey's old offensive coordinator commands attention elsewhere. Eric Bieniemy, yeah, he left. Maybe there's something to that. A lot of people maybe undervalued Bieniemy's contribution to the team. Okay, let's keep going with the picks here. We got a game between Bieniemy's Commanders. They are in Atlanta taking on the Falcons. This game has a total of 42. What do you think I'm doing? I'm taking the under in this game. So we've seen an average combined score of just 35.8 in Falcons games this season. The Falcons are averaging just 16.6 points per game. All those first-round draft picks used on big-time skill players not really paying off. However, they have been really strong on defense. Atlanta ranks in the top 7 in yards allowed per play and third down and red zone defense. A bit of a mixed bag in terms of scoring from Washington in regards to their scoring output this season, but two constants have been that they're allowing way too many sacks and they cannot convert on third down. They're allowing the second most sacks in the NFL this season. Falcons generating a decent amount of pressure so far. Washington also 25th in third down conversion percentage. So expect a lot of empty drives in Atlanta on Sunday. Okay, Ro, we go back to Prop City. You're looking at Zay Flowers. What do you like for Flowers this weekend?
You know, Flowers might be a rookie, but he's really turning into Lamar Jackson's favorite target, especially downfield. He's gone over 20. Right now, you're seeing his longest reception yards number at 20.5, and he's gone over that number in four of five games this year. He's receiving a massive target share. We're looking at 27.3% target share. That's actually slightly higher than Justin Jefferson's 30.4% air yard share, 30.8% first read share. Jackson's looking his way first a lot of the time. He's coming off a game against the Steelers when he had a season high 11 targets. He had a 29-yard grab in that contest, and there were a few other big throws from Jackson that they just missed on. So those looks are definitely coming his way. Now you're talking about a Titans defense that's 26th in the league in air yards allowed, 27th in yards allowed per pass attempt. So I'm expecting Jackson to be airing it out to Flowers, and I love the over on his longest reception here. You're seeing it start to tick up at some books already. A lot of books have this number at 21.5. I'm not hesitating with that extra yard. Give me the over for Flowers here.
Okay, from an over to another under for me. The Saints are playing, so you know what I'm doing in the Saints game. I'm taking the under. I played the under in their game every single time this season. It has hit in every single one of their games this season. They are playing the Texans, the number at 42 and a half. So the Saints have now gone under in 14 of their last 15 games, including every game this season. They haven't had a game top 37 combined points yet this season. In every one of these games, at least one of the sides failed to reach the 20-point mark. They're having a lot of trouble moving the football as well, maybe flying under the radar how bad the Saints' offense has been. They are 29th in yards per play, but they are fourth in that category defensively. Houston has played in three games this season that failed to cross the 40-point mark, and their defense is starting to shine here. Check them out over their last three games. They went into Jacksonville. They allowed just 17 points there. They held the Steelers to just 6 points 2 weeks ago, and they held the Falcons to 7 points through three quarters. Then the wheels fell off a little bit there in the fourth, but a lot of potential, I think, for the Texans defense. So I like another low scoring game there. So under 42 and a half for Saints, Texans, Row. We continue to roll. We have the Cards taking on the Rams. I like the Rams teased down to a single point, but you like a play on the total in this game.
Yeah, I'm picking the over 48.5 here. You're not necessarily getting the best number. I think this opened at 46.5, seeing it 49 at some books right now, but still available at 48.5. And, this is just a perfect example of two teams that have been playing well on offense and have not been playing well on defense. Obviously, Joshua Dobbs is not the greatest quarterback to be hanging your hat on, but he's generally played better than expected this year. Ugly performance last week, but he didn't throw a single interception in his first four games of the year. And he looked really sharp in weeks 2, 3, and 4, despite facing the 49ers and Cowboys during that span. So the Cards are 12th in the league in offensive EPA, and they should also be looking to pass more this week because of James Conner's sidelined by an injury. As far as the Rams go, I mean, this is an offense that's 9th in the league in EPA, got back all-pro wide receiver Cooper Kupp last week. You know, with Kupp and Puka Nacua, they're catching passes from Stafford. They could definitely move the ball through the air, and they've also done a better job of establishing the run over the last few weeks as well. At the same time, both of these teams are terrible on defense. Rams are 24th in defensive EPA. Cardinals are 28th. Neither team gets any pressure either. Rams are 27th in the league in pressure rate, 28th in sacks. Cardinals are 31st in pressure rate. So I'm expecting both of these quarterbacks to have success, and I'm taking the over on 48.5.
Okay, my final pick of the show, Matthew Wingham in the chat weighing in. He says, great show, gents. What do you make of the Patriots? Hard to take the Raiders -3 bounce back spot for the Patriots. You can't trust either of these teams on the spread, but it's funny Matthew's asking about that game because I do have a bet on that game. I absolutely love the under. Once again, what did I tell you? It's a big under show today. So total set up 41.5 for this game in Las Vegas. These teams have combined to go under in 8 of their 10 games this season. And why can't you trust the Patriots even in a bounce back spot against the dinky Las Vegas Raiders? Well, the Patriots have scored 18 combined points in their last 3 games. 18 points in 3 games. They still haven't scored more than 20 in a game this season. Raiders haven't scored more than 18 in any of their 5 games this season. We should expect a lot of punting in this game, 28th and 29th on third down. Both teams also having a lot of trouble moving the football, 25th and 28th in yards per play. And you might say, well, Joe, these teams played last year, and it was actually a high-scoring game. It was 30-24. Of course, you might recall the Patriots, they tried to do a lateral or something crazy in that game, and the Raiders ended up returning it for a touchdown. So, yeah, they combined for 54 points in that game, but you got to keep in mind, 14 of those points were scored by the defenses. The offenses combined for just 333 passing yards in that game. So absolutely love the under in the Patriots game here in Las Vegas, under 41.5 against the Raiders. Okay, Roe, bring it home for us, your final pick of the show. We were making history here on Before You Bet, the first ever kicker prop. What are you looking at here?
You know what? This might be my favorite prop of the week. Let's bring it back to Houston. You're expecting a low scoring game between the Saints and Texans, but I'm loving the over 1.5 field goals for Kaimi Fairbairn. You know, this guy's one of the best kickers in the league. You know, it's really a perfect situation for him to go over this number. You look at the Texans, and they can move the ball. They're 11th in the league with 357.4 yards per game, but they're just 29th in red zone offense. So they move the ball, but then they struggle when they get into the red zone, and they're taking on a Saints team that's 7th in red zone defense. So what's that going to do? It's going to result in probably a decent amount of field goal attempts for Fairbairn. That certainly happened a lot this season. He's second in the league with 15 field goals. He's hit at least 2 field goals at every contest. And this is a guy that, like I said, I mean, when this offense stalls in the red zone, he's going to get his shots at the uprights. But he could also kick field goals from way out there, too. We saw him bang a 61-yard field goal a couple years ago. This guy's got a big leg as well. And of course, we're looking at a close spread in this game, 1.5 points at the moment. So that means we're expecting a close contest where field goals really matter. So yeah, give me the over here. And like I said, this might be my favorite play overall of everything. Sides, totals, props, you name it. This might be my favorite play of the week.
There we go. Big field goal play from Roe. Okay, so that is it for our NFL plays for Sunday. 9 in total. We will recap them at the end of the show. But Roe, before you take off, tell us a little bit about the work that you have up at Covers that the viewers can check out.
You know, lots of stuff. A big focus right now is NFL, of course. I've got 4 previews every week, including a sacks and defensive player tackles prop piece that comes out every Saturday. Lots of value with those player props because, you know, books can sometimes be a little bit slower when anticipating injuries on the defensive side of things. So definitely a good one to keep an eye on. I usually put that article on covers.com every Saturday afternoon, usually tweeted out as well. So be sure to follow me on Twitter and check out the Covers website for that stuff.
Yes, sir. Okay, Ro, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck with your bets this weekend. And as always, we will catch you again next Friday.
Sounds good, Joe. Thanks.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Antoine Bigum's in the chat wing, and CJ Stroud to win Rookie of the Year, plus 100. Are those the odds? I don't think there's a whole lot of value there. He goes down with an injury. That's that. Now, the one thing to consider with that bet is probably two of the other big-time candidates are down with injuries right now, Achan for the Dolphins and Richardson, the quarterback for the Colts. So, yeah, I mean, if I needed to pick somebody, Stroud right now, but a plus 100, not the best number probably, but yeah, we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But Stroud absolutely off to a fantastic start this season. Okay, let us switch gears now over to the other football, college football. So you know who we're going to go to, our guy down there in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, how we doing? You all set for another weekend of college football betting action?
Absolutely, Joe. Thanks for having me as always.
Yes, sir. Okay, so let's get right into it here. So if you guys missed Monday's show for Brad's best bets there, he gave out Cincinnati -5, San Diego State -6, and Temple +7. We have that video up here on the Covers YouTube channel if you want to go back and check out his analysis for those games. But Brad, let's get into a few more games here. A couple best bets to add here. Louisville taking on Pittsburgh. We have a 7.5-point spread for this game. What direction, what team do you like in this one?
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with the underdog here. The home underdog, Pittsburgh, +7.5 against Louisville. To me, it's one of the best situational spots of the entire college football season so far. You got a Pittsburgh team fresh off a bye. They've decided, since it's been an extremely disappointing start to the season, they're going to change up the quarterback spot. I actually think it'll be an upgrade. That's how bad their starters played so far in the first five games. So an upgrade there. And then Louisville off one of their biggest wins in school history. They just beat Notre Dame last week at night. They stormed the field. They're unbeaten. I think they're overrated. This is a Louisville team that, you know, coming into the Notre Dame game, I was kind of cautious backing them against Notre Dame because statistically they were kind of a phony, fraudulent team. So just because they had an all-out A-plus effort against Notre Dame doesn't necessarily change my entire thought process on them. So you add those two factors together, I love Pittsburgh here, and I think they're live. This is a 7.5-point underdog that's live on the money line.
Okay, so speaking of Notre Dame, they're taking on USC. This game should do a pretty good rating, a 2.5-point spread for this game. What team do you like to cover in this one?
I like USC here. To me, better head coach, better quarterback, getting a plus sign next to their name. Now, USC's defense has left a lot to be desired, but I think they've been kind of playing possum. They haven't played the strongest competition so far this year. I think they have an extra gear in them. I don't think Notre Dame has anything left in the tank. This is Notre Dame's 8th straight week of playing, dating back to a week zero game where they played in another continent, and they played in Ireland. This is their 4th straight game against a ranked opponent. And probably one of the last teams I want to play if I'm running on empty is this USC offense led by Caleb Williams. So I think this is another underdog that I think is obviously very live on the money line. I think USC wins outright. So let's go ahead and take the +2.5.
All right, a couple dogs there. Let's get into a couple of the big games here. Tennessee, Texas A&M. We got a 3-point spread for this one. Who do you like to cover in this matchup?
Yeah, I like the home favorite. Situationally is the handicapping factor here. Tennessee fresh off a bye. A&M just played Alabama. All out 60-minute effort there. And then matchup-wise, I think Tennessee's defensive front will be able to get pressure on Texas A&M. It's a very tough place to play, Neyland Stadium. And I think Tennessee, if you looked at what Alabama was able to do to beat Texas A&M's good defense, it's throw the football down the field. Well, that's what Tennessee does. So as long as Joe Milton's not throwing some interceptions this week, I think Tennessee's a safe bet here, -3.
Okay, next up, a very fun-looking game, Washington taking on Oregon. Once again, a 3-point spread. We like the underdog, or do we like the favorite in this game?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the best matchup of the weekend in college football, two top 10 teams. I'm going to keep it very simple. I think I have the better quarterback. I think I have the better head coach in a very hostile environment. I like Washington -3. In the weeds a little bit, I'm a big narrative-driven guy because I think narratives can impact point spreads, especially in today's day and age with 30 plus states being legal betting. And I just go back to Oregon's game against Texas Tech, where Oregon was +4 in turnovers in that game. If they're +2 in turnovers, they lose that game outright. So if they're heading to Seattle with a loss. What's this point spread? Is it 3? No, it's not. It's probably Washington, probably 4. So I think there's a little bit of value there on the Washington side, -3.
Okay, let's wrap things up here. Oregon State taking on UCLA, a 3.5-point spread for this one. Who do you like?
Shocker, another home favorite here. Here's where I think the value is. UCLA's defense has been as good, you know, as advertised. There were some question marks heading into last week's game against Washington State. They answered those question marks. With that being said, this is a UCLA defense that has not faced a balanced offense like they'll see on Saturday night against Oregon State that can run and pass. Washington State, who they beat, can only pass, couldn't run. Utah, who they fared well against, this is a Utah team that can't pass but can run. So I question UCLA's defense. It's number one in some categories defensively. We'll see after Saturday night. And on top of it, I am not buying UCLA's freshman quarterback on the road making a second big road start. He struggled mightily against Utah on his first big-time road start. I think he'll struggle again in Corvallis on Saturday night.
Okay, so some Friday night action here. And, of course, Colorado is playing now a little bit less spotlight on Colorado with each passing week, it seems here. But they'll probably get some shine tonight. Not a whole lot of action going on in the sports betting world. They are favored by 12.5, taking on Stanford. Any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, big factor for Colorado. They get Travis Hunter back. He plays both ways. He's probably their best player, at least at the skill position, outside of Shadur Sanders, the quarterback. So getting him back at wide receiver and cornerback is a big positive. With that being said, laying double digits for this Colorado team, playing a 7th straight week. All big time. Look at their past results. Big time media did spotlights on those games and or games that came down to the wire. So I just wonder how much energy this depth shy team has in the tank. Stanford fresh off a bye. So give me the Cardinal plus the 12.5.
The Cards. Okay. We'll put you on the spot here. We have a question in the live chat. Matthew Wingham asking, Brad, any games in which the total has moved one way or the other based on weather projections that you think we can take advantage of?
It's an excellent question. I don't have a specific game where I think there's value, but I'm going to be contrarian because everybody's betting these weather unders like they know exactly what the forecast is going to be several days in advance. And in my opinion, what I've seen the last year or two is they overbet these weather totals. And a lot of times I find myself on game day, okay, it's raining a little bit. I mean, they said there was going to be 20-mile-an-hour winds. There's only 10-mile-an-hour winds. So a lot of times I'll find myself betting the over on a game. And that I think will be the case possibly tomorrow on Saturday because I think the system's moving a little quicker than expected. A game to keep an eye on is that USC-Notre Dame game. Last time I checked, it was a few hours ago, the hour-by-hour forecast was the rain will stop. The wind won't be that big of a significant factor, and yet we continue to see money on the under on that game. I don't agree with that.
Underreact. I love that. One final question, Brad. Do you ever take a look at player props for college football, and do you ever think we'll see them grow to the popularity that we have with player prop betting in the NFL?
Probably not. I mean, it's very tough for the books to, you can take advantage of it to say the least. It's yes. Very profitable, positive EV, but I just don't, there's too many players to keep track of for it to be super profitable for the books to offer them up on every single game. But certainly the big games of the week, you can take advantage of it. I don't because the unfortunate thing here in sunny Las Vegas, the two books that offer a lot of player props, FanDuel, DraftKings, They're not in this state, so I don't bet them.
Yeah, then we don't blame you. Yeah, you see them during bowl season, even for college basketball. You know, you see them heat up a little bit during March Madness and the National Championship and Final Four and whatnot. Yeah, but during the regular season, not a whole lot of people giving out that player props for both college basketball and college football. Okay, Brad, that does it. Another week of research handicapping in the can. I know your work isn't done yet. You'll probably get a handful more bets in, but best of luck with those bets, and we will catch you again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me as always, Joe.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. If you guys are just tuning in, we gave out an avalanche of picks for the NFL week 6. So let's recap those right now. My best bets. Hope you like under bets. A lot of boring games, hopefully, this weekend. I'll be teasing the Eagles and the Rams, both of them down to a single point. I like the under of 42 between the Ravens and Titans in jolly old England. Commanders, Falcons, under 42 once again. Saints, Texans under 42.5. Patriots, Raiders under 41.5. Let's take a look at what row. Did we have a graphic for row? I do not think that we do. But good news here, guys. I think this is the first show in a while anyways. No technical difficulties. We usually average around 1.3 technical difficulties per show. Nothing yet. Now, we still have about 25 more seconds, so anything can happen. So I'll try to get the hell out of here before we have one. So that does it for the Friday edition. Before you bet, another week is done. Now we just have to watch it play out on the weekend. I absolutely love it. So thank you guys very much for tuning in to the show this week. If you're not already subscribed to the Coverage YouTube channel, please do so. We have NFL previews for every single game this week. So if we didn't cover it on the show today, you can catch it on the YouTube channel. We also have stuff for college football. There's a UFC event this weekend, NHL, Major League Baseball. We cover it all, so make sure you are subscribed to the channel. The button is right down there. Okay, that does it for today. Best of luck with your bets this weekend. We will see you on Monday. Woo!